Hey, listeners, just to confirm that this review of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is 100% spoiler-free. So what is said in this episode will not spoil the movie in any way for you. Now, on with the show.
Stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la puerta.
We welcome you aboard our highway of the sky.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome to a special episode of the Monorail Tales. Tonight we are doing a review of the movie Doctor Strange in the Multi-Universe of Madness. And believe it or not, I am one of your hosts. I'm Steve. And hopefully we've got someone who can do a more better review. We have Patrick Wheeler. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Steve. Glad to be on here with you tonight. I think first time just me and you on here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll just go back and forth about this. I'll just say, and kind of we were talking before we came on, I've been dying to talk to somebody because unfortunately I went and saw this movie at 3:30 in the afternoon on Thursday. I am not a huge Marvel, I mean, I'm a fan, but I am not into all the Marvel stuff like a lot of other people. So what's your thoughts on Doctor Strange in general?
So I will say that I think I went into this movie a little biased. Doctor Strange is my favorite MCU character. So growing up, I didn't read a lot of comics. I got into the MCU phase kind of later on. So I kind of got into it about 2 years ago with Rick, and worked my way through and just really kind of felt drawn. And I think it was because it's a little different take than what some of the other superheroes are throughout the Marvel Comic Universe series, and the way that he kind of came about becoming who he is. So I kind of really got drawn to that. I was actually just watching the first Doctor Strange a little bit ago with Lydia, and we were kind of going through and making sure that she understood what was going on in this movie and how it kind of related back to this. But growing up, I've read a little bit of Doctor Strange's comics, but not enough to really be well versed. But I do have to say that I think I went in with that bias that I do really like the Doctor Strange character. But even with that said, I was still apprehensive because I think his character progression through the Avengers movies from the first Doctor Strange movie, it's like, how are they really going to tie in kind of everything that's going on maybe in the real world versus what we've seen with the multiverse and things that Disney's came out with, right, in the last couple months? Are they going to tie all this stuff in together? And right. I think it kind of went above and beyond even what I was expecting with this movie, with how they kind of tied every different theme out there from the different movies, from, like, you know, the Disney miniseries. I thought they did an amazing job kind of bringing that together and making sure that those really, and I don't know if you noticed that, but how well they kind of stayed in sync, correlating even some of these mini series that Disney is doing right now.
Yeah. I'm going to say one of the things I was actually worried about going into this movie is I'm not the super fan of Marvel. But by chance, I happened to see all of the stuff that was on Disney Plus that related to this movie. In other words, I was kind of lucky. I was like, oh, I know who that character is because I watched blank not too long ago. Oh, that character's not even part of Disney yet, but blank.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm trying to keep this absolutely spoiler free. So,
right. No, I completely understand. And it's so hard because, you know, Rick was texting me about it and he's like, man, just go ahead. And I told him there's one line in this movie that I think has become my favorite line out of any movie. And he's like, just tell me. And I'm like, no, I'm not telling you. You got to go see it yourself. That's absolutely.
People go see this movie.
Yeah, you got to know how things turn out, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so what were your feelings about it going into it? So obviously not that big of an MCU fan, but still a fan. So what were your expectations going into it?
I was so worried that I was going to get lost.
Uh-huh.
There were parts in the first one that I'm like, okay, why is the buildings turning around? Why is this spinning this way? And I'm like, I'm glad I'm not watching this on 3D or I would be up chucking.
Oh, man, that would be rough to watch in 3D.
So I was like, I went into this movie like, please just don't lose me. And okay. I can safely say I followed it all the way through. It was.
Yeah.
They did a great job. I mean, it's like, you know, when you watch movies, and this is something too we can talk about, time travel. Well,
mm-hmm.
We've already done time travel in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
So it's like they kind of burn that out. Okay, what can we do now? Alternate universes? Oh, okay. Yeah, we could do that. I mean, I used to watch a show all the time where they traveled between, you know, alternate universes.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the name of the show. But anyway, I'm sure everyone's hollering at me right now what it is. But, I mean, it's another way to keep stories going, to maybe bring back people that died, perhaps.
Correct.
Not giving anything away, but, you know, it's kind of like time travel. It's like, oh, they die, but we go back in time and then make sure they don't die. So you're kind of in an area like that now where you're not going to lose your people. You mm-hmm. might lose them in that universe, but you've got them in another one. Hey, so we didn't really lose them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they did a good job because I think that was one thing that I was going to be, that I was a little bit wearisome of going in, was how was this going to kind of play out with, you know, we see what kind of transpired in Spider-Man No Way Home. And, obviously this was kind of still being filmed at the same time as that. So obviously there was some writing going back and forth because they obviously want to make sure that it kind of co-aligned with everything. So, and they really flowed together. And I thought they did a really good job with bringing together what we saw close to the ending of Spider-Man No Way Home with the multiverse and these alternate dimensions and how that really walked into this specific movie. Because like you said, sometimes movies can just beat a dead horse, right? Yeah. And I think they had to find something that really drew MCU fans in, and I really think they did it, because I think, to your point, the first Doctor Strange movie, if you don't watch it a couple times at least, you're going to get really lost because of everything that's going on with like the mirror worlds and how they can move matter and everything. But I thought they did a fantastic job making sure that even if you really hadn't seen the first Doctor Strange, I think you would be able to follow through and
I think so follow too. Yeah, I think so, too. And I think you need to see, instead of the first Doctor Strange, I think you need to see Spider-Man No Way Home, because I did a few days before, and I'm going to tell you something, and I don't, we can spoil that one. That's all. I was kind of disappointed in Spider-Man No Way Home, only because the story.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, so you got a kid who didn't make it into a college, and you're going to get a wizard to turn back time, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. That was a terrible prayer. I mean, to me, it made Stephen Strange look like a bad guy.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that. You know, now that you say that, you know, I was talking about this with someone the other day, that the storyline just wasn't, I think it'd been so long since we'd seen a Spider-Man movie that mm-hmm. we were ready for it. But I think the bigger impact from this Spider-Man No Way Home was the fact that, to your point, everybody from the past was coming into it. So that's what, as big as it was. But it was a kind of weak storyline.
Yeah, the premise was like, but everything about that movie is great. So yeah, go watch that one too, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, that diving into that multiverse and these alternate dimensions and really what that means and where MCU is really going to go with that, because I think that opens up a whole new realm for them to look at, because I think it's going to be a while before they kind of can blow that out of the water or beat the dead horse. Like, I think it's going to be a couple movies before we see the end of the multiverse. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion on it.
Absolutely. It's just, I mean, you're kind of back into kind of what I said. It's like, you're into different universes and different stories.
Yep.
I think that's the main thing, is different stories. And again, how Feige and the rest of his team have always pulled everyone. I mean, I'm sorry, when Captain America first came out, I never would have thought that you would have ended up with characters from I just pulled a blank. What is it? The Galaxy, the new ride.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. From the time when Captain America came out, would you ever have thought that all of a sudden you had someone from a different galaxy that was actually from Earth, but was coming back? I mean, it's just how they tie everything in is what's made this entire franchise just a super billion-dollar success.
Oh, absolutely. And I think even if you're not like a true Marvel fan, you can really appreciate what they've done and how they've mm-hmm. done. Like, I know I was watching it with, we were at my mom's when I was watching Doctor Strange, and she's not a huge Marvel fan, but she was paying attention to Doctor Strange, the first one. And she was like asking questions, and she's like, this is amazing. She said, I can't imagine how intelligent these writers are that are writing these movies, how they can bring all of this to life. They and I think that says something, like when someone who doesn't like Marvel can appreciate that fact, I think they're doing a very good job with it. And I think that, you know, when we look at it holistically from a big picture business perspective, people wanted something else with Doctor Strange. And I think that it goes to show, because right now the numbers that are out there, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is going to potentially hit over a $400 million global worldwide number of sales for its opening weekend, which actually puts it like, I think the numbers were 156% ahead of the original Doctor Strange movie, and it puts it at 210% above the Batman movie that just came out, which was a major hit as well. So I think I think MCU fans, but I think people were ready for this, and like it'd been hyped up. There were so many like rumors that were going around. I think that people were ready to see this, to see what it was actually going to be like.
Yeah. So one of my first questions I had, so do you think Disney made the right decision taking it to the big screen and not going to Disney Plus?
So I think they did. I think that when you look at it from that big picture business perspective, and you're looking at an opening weekend of $400 million, I think that is a success. That's the ninth biggest opening weekend in big box history. So, I mean, to be in the top 10, and how many of those are even in the Disney / Marvel comic universe franchise, I think that is huge. And Disney definitely made the right decision, especially given that we see that Disney Plus kind of isn't executing the way they thought it was going to. Like, it's not growing at the level. So I think putting it out to the big screen was their best option to be able to drive a profit for them and to be able to just kind of get that global outlook and draw in that they've been wanting.
Yeah. And this was the first time I've been back to the movies since the theaters closed, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this is the first time I have been back.
So I'm curious. So you went and saw it in 3D and I did not.
Yes.
Okay. So how was it in three? So I know you don't really have anything to compare it to because you haven't seen it outside the 3D. But right. What was your opinion on seeing it in a 3D perspective?
I am super fan of 3D. I have two 3D TVs in my house.
Okay.
I have every 3D movie I can find digitized to be able to put on and watch.
That's
interesting. Yeah. I mean, I've got Frozen, Tangled, everything I can get my hands on.
Wow.
I am big time 3D fan. This movie, and I think there's probably some other Marvel ones that there's so much going on, it's not necessary. Now, I did catch myself doing the lower the glasses, pull them up, lower, pull them up, just to see what the big difference was. I don't think it's a necessary thing, but I am just a big fan of 3D. And, you know, it's like so much goes on in all of these Marvel movies with explosions, and it's really not always necessary unless you really like 3D like I do.
Right. So, not a big fan just because I get sick in a lot of 3D rides and 3D movies for that reason. So, like, I was curious on what that looked like from someone that did like it. So, I find that really interesting that you're into 3D that much.
Yeah, and you really notice it at the beginning when things kind of throw at you. And then you notice at the end when you see the trailer or the trailer, not the trailers, but the credits running, and the credits are in 3D. And it's like, oh yeah, I forgot I'm watching a 3D movie. So yeah, I mean, it's not necessary, but you know, for someone like me, I just wanted to see it in 3D. Now, would you pay to go and see this movie again? Or are you going to wait until it comes to small screen?
No. So I am definitely going to go see it in theaters again. So before we even walked out of the movie theaters last night, I told Amber, my wife, that I will be back at least one or two more times before it leaves theater, just so I can see it on the big screen again. Like,
okay.
I personally think it was that good that I was. So I did the same thing with Spider-Man, though, too. So I think that, and two, I think seeing it on the big screen again, there'll be some things that, you know, I'll catch that I didn't catch during the first viewing.
Yeah.
Got to make sure there. How about you? Are you plan on going back?
Yep, I am. That's a total plan. Because I've got a non-killer week. I probably shouldn't say that because now something will happen. But I don't have a super jammed week coming up, so I might get a chance to sneak away like for a early afternoon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Now, I went by myself.
Right.
There were 8 people other than me in the theater. But again, this is at 3:30 in the afternoon. School's still in. So who did you go with?
So I went with Amber, my wife, and Lydia, my 8-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And I will say that my 8-year-old is just as big a fan of MCU as I am. And she didn't move the entire time. Like, it kept her attention, and she was watching it, like, very intently from the get-go. So for it to really keep her attention and not, like, lose her focus for, I mean, because the movie runs for the running time is 2 hours and 6 minutes, right?
Right.
So not as long as some of the Marvel movies that are out there. So I think that's one of the kind of surprising things for me. Like, I felt like it could have been a little bit longer. And they maybe could have added a little bit more to the storyline and to the theming, but I still think that it was enough with what it was. But I think for given the 2 hour and 6 minute running time, like, it kept her attention the entire time. So for me, seeing that tells me in my mind that it was a good movie from that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, since she's 8 years old, did you find it age appropriate for her or for any other 8-year olds, or what age?
Yeah. So what I'll say on that one, this is obviously something that Disney has been marketing for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So they've been showing a lot of different scenes with the trailers. And I think this is potentially maybe one of the darkest Marvel movies that's out there, if not the darkest.
Sure.
So I think even with that being said, that it was definitely appropriate. I would take her back and see it in a heartbeat if she wanted to go with me on the next go round. So I think for her, it was good. I don't think I would go with anything under probably the 8 to 10 year old age. Cool. So I think the 8 for me, 8 and above would probably be the cutoff.
Yeah. Because they did give it, didn't this one have PG-13?
Yeah, this one did have PG-13, and I think it was more from the cinematic themings that were in there than the you know, language. Because there was very, compared to some of the other Marvel movies, there was almost yes. no language in it, right? So yeah. I think there were only 2 or 3 words, and I think it's something that we would even hear on normal everyday television. So
for the most part.
So I think the PG-13 really came from some of that theming that made it a little darker. And I don't want to, to keep it spoiler free, I don't want to say what that theming is, but it's definitely, I think it was unexpected, but I really like the way that Marvel and Disney went with it.
Well, first of all, it's Sam Raimi.
And that's true.
And if you've seen over the years any of his films, they are on the macabre, the horror side, but they're also funny.
Yes.
There's a lot of humor in his wickedness, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of horror and everything, but I do like the comedic effect that he does get in, and he does get some good things in this movie. So
there are some fantastic things in this movie, but I think too, that's one thing I like about Doctor Strange is all of his movies have that wittiness and some of those comedic it's a dry comedic style. And I think that's one reason that I really like that character more than any others, is because I think I kind of relate to that as well with what I find humorous and how I joke around. So I think they did a really good job with some of those things that they brought into this movie.
Well, all right. So we've kind of talked about some other movies and stuff and Sam Raimi. In your opinion, would you think people would need to see any other movies before they saw this one?
So I think if you were going to watch any of the other movies, I don't think it's necessary. I think it almost could be seen by itself. But I think to fully understand, I don't think you need to see the original Doctor Strange from 2016.
Okay.
What I would recommend is maybe going through the Avengers movies to kind of see the buildup of Doctor Strange and how some of these themes have came into play. And then also No Way Home. I think if you watch No Way Home, I think you will be more than ready to sit down in the theater and understand what's going on.
Yep, I totally agree with you on that.
So from that aspect, what was something that you really enjoyed about the movie that you maybe weren't expecting in this one?
I think maybe I wasn't expecting. I kept waiting to see who the bad guy was.
Uh-huh.
And even through the end, I'm still not quite sure. And that's how I'm going to leave it at that.
I would agree, because I think you could almost see who it was, but then you're like, all right, well, maybe I was wrong the entire movie. So, like, I think they did a fantastic job with making us kind of see something there maybe wasn't there.
Yeah. But the nice thing is, even though they had a lot of different things going on, the entire storyline was easy to follow, and that's what made me happy about the whole movie, other than it was still really, really good, and I could follow it. I think that was my biggest fear going in. What did you think about all of the acting during this?
The acting I thought was really good. I thought that they brought back the same actors. They kind of revived the role. So, you know, we had Benedict Cumberbatch, we had Elizabeth Olsen, Rachel McAdams was obviously in it. And they were just reprising the roles in this. So we see the normal people that we've seen in the previous Doctor Strange movie, but also some of these throughout the rest of the Marvel cinematic universe. But what I really like is the introduction and how they introduce this new character into the MCU in this movie. So that was, I think, you know, it's out there right now, and, you know, the movie opens up with it. So I think this new character of America Chavez that they brought in, I thought was a fantastic addition to the movie.
Okay, good. That's what I was getting at. It's Xochitl Gomez.
Yes.
And I had to look up how to pronounce her name.
I didn't want to butcher it too bad.
It's real simple. It's Xochitl Gomez.
And looking at it, that is not how.
No. Actually, I had it all butchered up. I even asked Sheila because I thought it would be funny. And she got way closer than I did to the pronunciation of what it was. So, yeah, I was like, but she did a fantastic job for what? She just turned 16 like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, she's not very old at all. So, like, she played this 14-year-old character. So she is very true. Like, you know, it's not something we see nowadays in movies where a character is pretty true to the age of who they're playing. So I thought she did, for being as young as she is. And, you know, she's not really in anything major. I think she's in the Babysitter's Club right now, you know, looking up some of her IMDb stuff. But nothing like major and big screenish. So this was kind of like that coming out of the box kind of role for her. And I thought she, like, grabbed the bull by the horns and took off with it.
Yeah. I thought the interaction between her and all of the characters, other characters, was really good. So it's also, that says a lot for the writing also, I think.
Yeah, I think the writing on this one, they did a really good job on. So I know that, you know, there were some stuff that obviously got taken out and then added, and you know, there was some talk about people didn't think it was going to be as good because they felt it was going to be thrown together when the original writer left and everything. So, you know, I think they did a really good job. And I think Elizabeth Olsen, so, you know, Wanda, played an integral part in that. So without spoiling anything, obviously she worked very closely with the writers to make sure that this really worked along like the kind of integrity to keep the integrity of WandaVision and not the integrity of the rest of the MCU in regards to her specific role.
Oh, okay. So
I thought that was really interesting when I read that about this.
Wow. Okay. That is interesting. So I guess we don't need to really say this because I know I was only in the theater with 8 other people. But not one person got up and left after the end. Even when the credits were rolling, no one left.
Yeah, I think people have gotten and have started to understand the fact that there are these end credits that are after everything. So, you know, and I will say there are, for those of you who are listening, Steve just said, we're sure you probably know about them. But just in case you haven't gone yet, there are 2 end credits to kind of sit through. And I will say they make you think when you leave the theater. What do you think that's a good representation, Steve?
Maybe think I had to go research. And it wasn't easy trying to, there were a movie that just came out like 3 hours before I started looking it up.
Right. I think I had the, You got it right there. So I think I waited that extra 12 hours or 24 hours. So I think a little more to be able to go to when I got out. But if you're a true Doctor Strange kind of Marvel comic book fan, it's one of them's going to make sense.
Yeah.
So I thought very interesting. So. Is there something about this movie? Did you have a favorite part that you can kind of maybe talk about without giving any spoilers?
Ooh. I don't think offhand, now maybe after I see it again, that I can pick a fun part. There was a couple little Easter eggs, which is no big deal. Mm-hmm. That were played on a TV in the background.
Yes.
So that's a hint. And I think anyone could, they'd probably, most people would catch the first one, maybe not the second one. I had to really look.
I think the second one was a little harder to make out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can't remember a favorite part. It's just, I just loved the way they did everything. If I had to say a favorite part, I really thought it was Xochitl Gomez, how she did just a great job in that movie for being so young. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I think the new character and how we saw her kind of develop through the movie was kind of a thing that I really liked, but I think I would have to agree with you that, you know, still being so new, going to see it again is definitely going to be an imperative for me to be able to make a decision. But there are so many good scenes in the movie. I think it would be hard to not leave or hard to leave without finding something you truly liked with the movie.
Yep. Totally there. What kind of rating do you want to give this?
You want to go 5-star, 10-star, 3-star? What's our rating system?
5-star, I would give it 5. 10-star, I'd give it 9.5.
Okay. So I think I could concur with that. I think a 5-star rating, I go 5.5. I think I would go 9 out of 10 on the 10 range scale. So I can tell you why, but I kind of want to hear your, what would be your reasoning with going 9.5 out of 10 instead of 10 out of 10?
I'm one of those people that never gives you the full 10.
Understandable.
Sheila hates that because she's like, she'd make a perfect meal and I only give her a 9.5. And it's like, why? What would make it a 10? I don't know.
Got to be careful when she gives you those cup of teas.
Yeah.
Tell her they're good.
So I just thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It was fun. I didn't have to think. And again, maybe I went in thinking, oh, I'm going to have to study on this and focus on everything that's going on. And then I didn't. It was plain. It was simple. It was just, you watched and you were like, okay, it was great.
Yeah.
Totally entertaining.
Oh, 100%. I think Disney and Marvel did an absolute fantastic job with making this so easy to watch from the viewer's perspective. Because I think as we look back on some of these other movies in the MCU, there's so much going on that it's hard to follow along sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, especially without some sort of context, but I think even without watching, even though we said No Way Home would definitely be a good precursor, I think even without really watching that, you would still be able to follow along and leave the theater comfortable with what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, for the 9 out of 10 rating, I there was only one area. I just feel like as we were getting down to the last 20 minutes, I wanted more. Like it was full of everything, and I was completely satisfied leaving there. But I felt like the writers may have rushed just a little bit for the sake of not having like a 2.5 hour or 2 hour and 45 minute movie.
I can see that.
That I wanted just a little bit more because I felt some areas were maybe sped up and maybe pushed through a little quicker than what they may have done in the past just to kind of save a little time.
Right. So what future movies do we get from this? Do you have any idea?
Ooh. Oh man.
Actually, can we even do that without doing spoilers?
I know that's the hard part because I don't think we can. I don't, but for that specific reason, I think if we mentioned any movies that may come out of it, it's definitely going to be a spoiler.
Yeah. Alert. Yeah, it would. But yeah.
I think there is definitely going to be a handful of movies that will come from this.
Yeah.
I can at least think of, I mean, obviously we've already talked about Sochi's character. So we know that America Chavez is in there. So I think we know her introduction. I think that's at least something that, without being a spoiler, that I don't think that they would have made her as big of a part of this movie if we weren't going to see her again. But I think we can't really talk about anything else because,
yeah,
if someone hasn't watched it, then we're going to spoil everything for them.
Well, maybe we should leave it at that. And people, go see this. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. 100%. You know, I think for me, best movie I've seen this year so far. Obviously, we're 5 months in and we've still got a couple, at least one Marvel movie coming out in July. So you've got Thor coming out then. Oh, God. But...
did you get the previews of that?
I did see the previews of
that. Oh my gosh.
That one I think is going one might be a little rough to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be fun.
But yeah, I like the way it looks like it might be a little different. So, but I think this is going to be like my favorite movie so far this year, and I think it's going to be hard-pressed to find something that is going to kind of take that away from it.
Yep. All right. Well, on that note, I think we'll end this, and thank you for listening. And go out and see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, because it is a lot of fun, even though it's got that long title.
It does. But if you notice, everyone's referring to it as Doctor Strange 2 on the internet now.
Oh, I hadn't noticed. No. Okay. So that's good.
Yep. That's how everybody I've seen today referring to it as, to cut down on that title, I would assume.
All right. Well, Patrick, thank you so much. And I know you're probably missing our cohort, but he has been under the weather.
That's right.
So I am. Say his name. I will not say his name. He is the one that is not to be named.
He who must not be named.
He who must not be named.
We're thinking about you, though.
Now go ahead and say his name.
No, you know, that was the one thing. Me and Rick had this planned out for.
That's true. I
mean, we had tickets for a month and a half ahead of time already. As soon as tickets went on sale, we bought tickets for the 5th. So we were ready. We've been looking for. We've literally talked every day about this movie for, yeah, I bet you, close to 2 months. And then the day of, he texts me, and unfortunately, he did come down with the sickness, and he wasn't able to go. He's doing well, though, so that's the positive. But I would say, I bet you my second time going is going to be with him.
Yeah. No, that's cool. When I heard you guys were going, I'm like, okay, I haven't been to a movie. I'm going to beat them to it. I'm not going to tell them.
Hey.
And so I went to the first showing that they had on Thursday, which I couldn't believe they were doing at 3:30. Usually it's at like 6 or 7.
I know. I was surprised when I talked to Sheila, and she said you were going that early in the day. I was really surprised that they were having them at that time. But yeah. I think the one thing that we saw from the pandemic, that theaters aren't going to be as crowded right now because there's so many playing times of the large movies. So I know for our theater, we had, I think there was one every 30 minutes from 1 o'clock on.
Yeah.
So many were viewing it. So I think that did a great job with allowing us to have some of that space. So, but yeah, we did
ours on it, yeah. But ours actually starts showing at 10:15 tomorrow in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So
fantastic.
Yep. All right. So, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad I could fill in for Rick.
So, always a pleasure working with you.
Yes, you too. We'll have to do this more often. So that's it. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for tuning in to this special episode of Monorail Tales, of the review of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Thanks a lot. See you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. It's been fun, but now I've got
and thank you!